Thank you. Thank you, colleagues. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, colleagues, members, my friends, thank you. Thank you so much for that warm welcome. I am deeply honoured to stand before you today as the leader of this great party. A party that leads unionism, a party that is the voice of Northern Ireland, and a party that is proudly at the centre of the politics of our United Kingdom. I count it an honour to be your leader as we embark on a new phase in the history of our party. Now, our conference takes place against the backdrop of an unprecedented interest in the Democratic Unionist Party from right across the United Kingdom, and I want to welcome and thank our many friends and allies who have joined with us during our weekend events. But most of all, I want to express my deep appreciation to you, our members, for your support over the last 12 months. Because the Democratic Unionist Party is not like other political parties. What marks us out is the dedication, the loyalty, and faithfulness of you, our members. So today, from the bottom of my heart, I say thank you. If the last year has proved anything, it is that we live in an uncertain world. We've been through a lot together over these past 12 months. When last we gathered, no one could have foreseen that in 4 months' time we would be fighting an Assembly election, and it was a tough election. We lost good and faithful public servants, and I want to pay tribute to and say thank you to Maurice, Nelson, Brenda, Adrian and Philip. Now, that election was a wake-up call for unionists. We warned that Republicans were cynically seeking to exploit the election as an opportunity to close the gap on unionism. Many didn't believe our warnings. They said we were scaremongering. However, Sinn Féin came within one seat and 1,200 votes of becoming Northern Ireland's largest party. Now, thankfully, the unionist electorate didn't have to wait years for an opportunity to register support for our precious union. The snap general election provided such a platform within just 3 months. And I want to thank the nearly 300,000 people who rallied to our banner in June. Not only did their votes help us to emphatically return all of our existing members of Parliament, they also won back South Antrim. And they returned the South Belfast seat to the Unionist fold for the first time in 12 years. Emma and Paul's excellent victories further strengthen our team at Westminster, so brilliantly led by Nigel. At such a crucial time in our nation's history, we are truly fortunate that our parliamentary party is led by someone as trusted and as able as Nigel Dodds. And I want to again very publicly acknowledge and thank Nigel for the support he has given to me. He is a steadfast and loyal deputy leader, and his service to this party and to our country cannot be overstated. Now, we all worked for the success, but to return the highest number of MPs in our history, to register the largest percentage share of the vote ever for our party, and to record the biggest vote of any party since 1985 was an astounding achievement. The people proved that more votes means more seats, which means more influence. Your efforts, knocking doors, delivering leaflets and putting up posters, all added up to almost 300,000 votes. And together, you all helped to make history. And that momentous result put our party in an unparalleled position at Westminster. Now, for our part, we made it clear that our priority was to help bring stability to our nation. Do you remember how some said that the DUP would push a narrow agenda in our negotiations? Well, what was secured was for everyone across Northern Ireland. Not narrow and not sectional, but a deal that benefits all of the people of Northern Ireland. And it wasn't just an agreement about Northern Ireland. We have ensured that pensioners in every part of our kingdom will have the security of knowing that the triple lock on pensions is safe and that the winter fuel payment will remain universal. We are the party for Northern Ireland, but our unionism doesn't end at the Irish Sea. We will always fight hard for the best deal for Northern Ireland, but we care about vulnerable people in Bristol and Birmingham every bit as much as those in Belfast. That, of course, is the very essence of our unionism. Whether English, Scottish, Welsh or Northern Irish, we aren't competitors or rivals in this United Kingdom. We are bound together as one, stronger together than apart. And it is... It is an honour underpinned with a solemn responsibility to be able to help bring stability to our United Kingdom in these challenging times. And we do it, seized with an abiding sense of duty to the national interest. Now, we will avail of every opportunity now and in the future to advance the Union as a whole and Northern Ireland's place within it. Securing support for our pensioners, a determination to support our armed forces, and a commitment to maintain the same cash support for farmers until 2022 are illustrations of what we mean when we say we will help shape policies in the national interest. We will bring that same philosophy of doing what's in our nation's best interests to the other challenges that the United Kingdom will face over the course of the current Parliament. Now, there's no doubt that delivering on the decision of the people of the United Kingdom to leave the European Union is perhaps the most substantial and complex process the government and Parliament has undertaken in the modern political era. From the UK's entry to the old European community to the failure of member states to agree to reform the European Union, this party has been consistently sceptical about Brussels. Now, much has been said about Brexit. Listening to some quarters, you would be forgiven for thinking that life as we know it will end. But during the referendum campaign and ever since, some of those who advocated Remain have argued that the UK's departure from the European Union will result in a hard border on the island of Ireland. Now, I said from this platform 12 months ago that no one wishes that to be the case. We want our border to remain open for people to move freely north and south for work, for education and as tourists. We want to see continued trading across the border in the economic interests of our two countries. I also said that any exit deal must recognise the reality of our geography and of our history, and that for us, we wanted to get the best deal for Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom as a whole. We want a sensible Brexit, a Brexit that works for Northern Ireland and for the United Kingdom. However, we will not support any arrangements that create barriers to trade between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK, or any suggestion that Northern Ireland, unlike the rest of the UK, will have to mirror European regulations. I have written to the heads of government of each of the EU 27 member states, setting out our views, and Diane Dodds will continue her work in Brussels in the coming days to reinforce our position. The economic reality for our economy is that our most important trading relationship is with the rest of the United Kingdom, and we will do nothing that puts that at risk in any way. And we welcome the assurances from our Prime Minister and the UK Brexit team that no such internal barriers will be countenanced, and that as we join the then European community as one nation, we will leave as one United Kingdom. Now, the general election provided unionism with the perfect opportunity to bounce back. But we've no intention of resting on our laurels or taking success for granted. Our mission is to secure Northern Ireland's place within the Union. Our mission is to make Northern Ireland as good as we know it can be. And our mission is to make life better for all of our people. Now, I am a unionist by conviction and unashamedly so. I believe that the Union is the best basis upon which we can build a peaceful and prosperous society in Northern Ireland. Regardless of some of the propaganda, the truth is the Union is secure. And no matter how many times we're told that the North isn't British, Northern Ireland is British and will remain British. Now, I was motivated to enter public life precisely because of my desire to protect and preserve Northern Ireland's place within the United Kingdom. But defending the Union isn't our only job. We're also charged with the crucial task of advancing our vision for Northern Ireland. And perhaps precisely because in the past years we have had to guard against those who would destroy the Union, we haven't always spent sufficient time spelling out that positive vision. So we need to spend more time outlining the kind of Northern Ireland we want to see flourish and why that is best advanced through being part of the Union. But a country is nothing without its people. A society's real strength isn't generated by its GDP, but by its people. And I never cease to be astounded by the exceptional nature of our people. Northern Ireland is too often characterised by what divides us. But I'm always amazed by how so many of the people I meet might have very different life experiences, but almost all share the same Northern Ireland values. They are humble as they are hardworking. They are deeply devoted to their families. They believe in personal responsibility, but they'll not be found wanting when a neighbour is in need. They possess a compassion for those who are less well off, no matter where in the world they live. And they have a pride in our country and the achievements of all of our people. But what I believe sets us apart, what marks us out as special, and what gives us a real edge over others, is a spirit of never giving up. It is embedded deep in our DNA. We experience adversity, yet face it down. And through all of the tough times of the Troubles, our people never stop believing in the promise and the potential of Northern Ireland. And we owe it to the generation that came through the Troubles, and maybe even more so to those generations that follow, to fulfil that promise and potential. Northern Ireland people want their children and their grandchildren to do better than them, to realise their dreams and to enjoy life in ways that were maybe denied to them. And everywhere I go, I see a real sense of ambition. That same sense of aspiring to be all that you can be was ingrained in me from a very early age. And my mother and father instilled in me a belief that the only barrier to becoming whatever I wanted to be was myself. So that desire to inspire the next generation is as strong today as it was when I was growing up. It is exactly that desire to not only ensure that Northern Ireland is a better place to live than it was when I was growing up, but that we bestow to the next generation a Northern Ireland where they can get a job, afford a home, raise a family, and live out their lives to the full. And that's the core of this party. And that's why we are the People's Party, the party that puts people first, the party that prioritises attracting jobs and investment and improving our health services and our schools and our housing and our infrastructure so that all of our people can live better lives. We are the party for people trying but finding it difficult to get a foot in the property ladder for the first time, for young families who find the cost of childcare a barrier to work, for the pensioner who has worked hard all their life and just wants a retirement free from worry and who will look after them and how it will be paid for, and for the small business owner who finds their ability to grow and create more jobs stifled by unnecessary bureaucracy and red tape. They are the people we serve. They are the people that motivate me to keep moving forward. Now, in everything we do, in everything we say, and in everything we try to achieve as a party, we must be the party for the people. Yeah. Most people... Most people don't want or expect their government to do everything, but what they do demand is that their government put the taxes they pay to good use and delivers the sort of services they, their families and their community need to enjoy a good life. Government's only job is to serve the people. It is there to protect people, provide the vulnerable with a safety net, and act when and where markets fail to serve the people properly. And our mission is to do all that we can to make life a little easier for people who get up early in the morning, get their kids to school, and go and do a hard day's work. Our mission is absolutely about affirming our British identity, upholding the constitutional status of Northern Ireland as an integral part of the United Kingdom. But our mission is also about ensuring that people all across the UK can have a good life too. Now, I want everyone in Northern Ireland, regardless of whether they're unionists or nationalists or don't consider themselves to be either, to enjoy a good quality of life and to be able to pass on to the next generation a better Northern Ireland filled with opportunities for all. Now, I know it's popular to bash Stormont and to criticise devolution. You may have noticed that. But to say it has delivered nothing is not true. The truth is that during our devolved government, whilst far from perfect, there were record levels of inward investment, scores of new schools built, and miles of new roads constructed, and hundreds of millions more spent on health. And while we have more influence than ever before at Westminster, we also want to see our local institutions functioning and delivering for the people of Northern Ireland. Making our mission a reality is best achieved by getting the Assembly and Executive back doing what the people elected us to do. That's why we should have established the Executive 8 months ago without any preconditions. Because we would have got the government going again whilst dealing with the issues of language and culture in parallel. But such a pragmatic approach was rejected by the heavy brigade in Sinn Féin. Now, that shouldn't surprise us. Let us not forget how Sinn Féin stopped the executive from meeting for almost a year over policing and justice, or how they allowed over £150 million to be lost as they delayed the implementation of welfare reforms that in the end they largely agreed to. They walked away from office earlier this year, knowing what that would mean for public services and the hurt and the harm it would cause to hardworking people. Now, they protest against health cuts, yet held that very portfolio in the last executive, where they would have been able to do much more than complaining at public meetings. They moan about what they call Tory austerity, yet their finance minister failed to bring in a budget leaving it to the Conservative Secretary of State to legislate for our budget at Westminster. They complain about Brexit, all the while refusing to form an executive or take their seats in Parliament. And they go to conference and glory in the murder of the IRA. Let me say this, conference. Today my thoughts are with the victims of Enniskillen, King's Mill, Le Mans, and many thousands of innocent victims who have conducted themselves with dignity over many decades. Yet, when you listen to Sinn Féin, they blame everyone else. Now it's time Sinn Féin got serious. Our team has been working hard over this last few months in the talks process, and I do want to thank my Stormont team who have been there faithfully, and in particular I want to thank Simon Hamilton, Edwin Poots and Philip Weir, who have been very faithful in their support of me. Thank you guys. Some progress was made, but that can only be built upon if all sides are genuinely serious about obtaining a deal that is balanced. This party will conclude a balanced deal, but we will not be party to a one-sided arrangement that rewards intransigent behaviour. Northern Ireland needs a government, and we cannot continue without ministers. And time is short, and those in Sinn Féin blocking the restoration of local decision-making need to decide whether they want to do business with us or have direct rule ministers in place instead. For my part, I still believe that devolution is the best way to govern Northern Ireland, but to do that in a way that delivers for all our people, we need serious partners in government. Now, one key element of the talks that is critical is that if any new executive is to be restored, it must be on a sustainable basis. And all parties who share that view must insist on that being the case. Now, I said back in the summer that this party was prepared to legislate for the Irish language in the context of legislating for the plurality of cultures that exist in Northern Ireland. We know that the Irish language is spoken and enjoyed by thousands of people in all parts of Northern Ireland. It does no damage to our unionism or the union we cherish. I respect the Irish language and those who speak it. However, respect isn't a one-way street. Yeah. Respect works both ways. It's time that Sinn Féin started to respect our British culture. For too long, they have shown nothing but disdain and disrespect for the national flag, the royal family, the armed forces, British symbols, the constitutional reality, and the very name of this country. So we are up for respect. We're up for respect, and we're up for rights. Because, of course, Republicans like to lecture us about rights. Have you noticed? They weren't so concerned about that most fundamental of rights, the right to life during the Troubles. We are for rights. We respect rights. What we oppose is using the cloak of rights as a Trojan horse designed to break unionists. And I know, probably more than anybody, that our politics can be tough, brutal even. But I am passionate in my belief that politics has to be about making a difference in the lives of every single one of our citizens. Back in the spring, I visited Our Lady's Grammar School in Newry, and I came away with two things: a greater understanding of the genuine passion and love that many have for the Irish language and a beautiful gift of a framed picture. And that picture was inscribed with the words, "Together we are strong." And those words really registered with me. If we are to generate the opportunities for the pupils at Our Ladies and all the other schools across Northern Ireland to fulfil their potential, then we have a far, far better chance if we are moving forward together. Now, as you know, I'm very fond of the work of C.S. Lewis, one of our greatest sons, and I want to conclude with one of his quotes. He once wrote, quote, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending," close quotes. And C.S. Lewis was right. We cannot go backwards and undo what has been done. We cannot start again from somewhere different. We have to deal with things the way they are. But that doesn't mean the end is already written. We can shape the future for the next generation that is so much better than what we had to experience. Build a Northern Ireland where everyone can live a good life. Create a country where ambition and aspiration are encouraged and opportunities exist to fill them. Now, I love this country and I want it to be the best that we all know it can be. And that is my vision and that is our mission, because together we are strong and together, standing strong, we will achieve that mission and move Northern Ireland forward to a better future. Thank you.
Three cheers for Ireland! Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are making history because, in actual fact, the conference will be over in very good time. So it's always good to keep the things moving. We've had an excellent day. We've enjoyed each other's company. We have enjoyed the spirit of the conference, and we thank you, every one of you, for coming and making this a very special day. As Arlene has said, this past year has been a difficult year at times, But once again, we have seen the sterling character of the lady that's leading this party, so ably aided, of course, by our leader at Westminster, Nigel Dodds. And we deeply appreciate what Arling and Nigel has done. Once again, put your hands together for Arling and Nigel. I was somewhat surprised that I believe that there's someone called Sam. Is it McBride, you call him? He said that some of us were hid away, that we wouldn't be on the platform today. So sorry, Sam, wherever you are. He's probably crawling out through the door somewhere. But you know, we do leave today, we leave this event united, we leave energized, and we leave confident for Northern Ireland. And we do that because of the sterling work that has been done by all of you who have gone round this country seeking to gain the support of the people, and once again in the general election to realise that indeed we have 10 members of Parliament. And it's an honour for me to congratulate Paul Girvan taking back South Antrim constituency. And of course, as been said, adding just then the cream onto the cake to realise that Emma was able to take South Belfast as well. Back for unionism. Now, we are a party at every level, whether it be at a councillor level, whether it be assembly level, members of parliament, lords, or our member of the European Parliament, Diane. We want to express appreciation to all the labours that they have put in over not only the past months, but over many years, building up this party, taking it forward and being re-energised, even in the midst of adversity. And let's be quite honest, let's not hold back. Listen, there were disappointments at the time of the Assembly election because of the honourable colleagues that were not returned in that. But you see, the character of the person is not on the days whenever everything's going good. The character of the person comes out and shines forth whenever it's days of adversity, when everybody thinks that you're finished and that you're down and you're done. Thank God, listen, the reason why we're not done is because we have a cause. And the cause is this wee province, Northern Ireland, Ulster, within the United Kingdom. That's the cause of which we're proud. I'd like to thank Arling and Nigel for the manner in which they were able to carry out those negotiations with Theresa May, and to bring us into a situation where we have greater influence today than any other time. I do believe it. You know, who would have believed that in actual fact it would be the Democratic Unionist Party was so pivotal that the whole of the United Kingdom was looking at our wee country. And thank God we are proud of our wee country, and we're proud of what our MPs are doing at Westminster to secure the best deal for Northern Ireland. And so therefore, at the end of this conference, yes, we can always say, yes, there always will be an Ulster, because it is our homeland, but we are a part of the United Kingdom, and we love every part of the United Kingdom. We wish every part well, and therefore we ask you, as we come to the end of this conference, in a moment we'll stand together and we'll sing the national anthem. We thank God for Her Majesty the Queen. We thank God for the faithfulness indeed of service that Prince Philip has given along her side, and also the rest of the royal family. And we're proud to be able to say we are British, and we're delighted also that we welcome today the folks from Gibraltar, the government from Gibraltar, to stand with us, because they are standing on the very same ground as we are standing. And so, ladies and gentlemen, just before we sing the national anthem, could I say a word of thanks? I want to say a word of thanks to the TAIL, because they did an excellent job, I believe, last evening, and also today it has been brilliant. And I trust that every one of you enjoyed your meal and also enjoyed all the facilities that have been provided for us. I want to say a word of thanks to Timothy and also the rest of the working team that has pulled us all together. I think that's important to express appreciation, because, you know, a conference like this just doesn't happen. It has to be pulled together, and we thank them indeed for that. And I have to say just one other thing. We have had two ladies standing on this platform for quite some time, and they've been doing the sign language interpreters. And I want to express appreciation for them. I sometimes wonder, were they able to get all the words that we were actually getting in? But nevertheless, thank you very much indeed. Go from this conference encouraged, strengthened, confident that we serve a great cause and we have a lovely province. And let us see that the future is better than the past. Let's stand for the Queen. Thank you.